If you have the very heart yearning to be a Christian, what does that tell you? That's the gift of God. That's the desire of God put in your heart. That's the work of grace begun. And if you really want to be saved and you want to be sure of it, there's every promise in this book given to whosoever will.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. We're on the air again to bring you the gospel of our Lord Jesus from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. And of course, we're going to be bringing you the final part of Tulip Theology, P, the Perseverance of the Saints. That will be our main message from the pulpit of our church today. We begin with our Bible reading in the Psalm 3. And I trust you'll open your Bible with us as we go through this psalm together. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for God in him and God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. I led me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people, Selah. This Psalm 3 gives a history that is ever so sad. Absalom, David's son, had risen up to usurp his father in revolt. He wooed the hearts of the people, promising them favorable judgments. In the book of 1 Samuel 15, we read, Solomon stole the hearts of the people. Solomon set up a shadow kingdom in Hebron, and the people in their folly followed Absalom. So David had to flee across the river Kidron, and Ahithophel's counsel was to take 12,000 men and smite the king only. Ahithophel's counsel was rejected, and Hushai's plan for a mass invasion of David's army was on. It was then that this Psalm 3 was written. And here we have the inner thoughts and prayers of David in the midst of a huge threat. I would call this peace in the midst of the storm. He says, many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. David was able to roll his burden upon the Lord. Even though David's enemies would have denied him this liberty, they would seek to destroy him. Satan would seek to destroy him. And Satan whispered doubts in his ears. Sometimes, perhaps your heart would deny you the joy of rolling the burden upon the Lord, and you feel like carrying the burden around with you without release. Well, we're to stop worrying and start praying. The passage in Philippians chapter 4, 6 is that we are to enjoy the peace of God, the pass that passeth all understanding. We're giving a premise, stop worrying. We are given a practice, start praying. And we're given a promise, peace. The promise is there and available, but we must follow the first two steps in order for the third to occur. We must stop worrying and start praying if we are to begin receiving God's way of peace. David was sustained. In the verse 5, he said, I led me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. God was his shield. God was his glory. God was his encourager, the lifter up of his head. And the Lord obviously heard his prayer. The Lord gave him sleep in the midst of all of this trouble. What peace the Lord gives to his people in the straits of life. My dear friend, I pray that God will give you his peace in the midst of all the cares, the rush, the hustle, the hassle that you're facing, and that God will pour out upon you the very fullness of his grace and of his power. May His blessing be upon your soul today. You'll notice at the close of this Psalm 3 that David prayed for God to take action. He said, "Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than arise, O Lord, save me, O my God. For thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly." Here he is calling upon God to arise. This is a common term for calling God to get involved in the action. David himself was not going to be passive, and he did not want God to be passive. Do we not pray for God to come and fight our battles? The battle here was to be fought in the wood of Ephraim. The wood devoured many people, and more people were lost in the wood that day than were actually slain by David's army. And Absalom himself was caught by his hair in an oak tree and slain by Joab and his armor bearers. It was a mixed blessing for David in that victory, because it meant the victory of the day, but the death of his own son, Absalom. The lesson for us is that God doesn't enter into our battles and our needs. He does not stand aloof. He goes before our armies, and he enters into the battle on our behalf. Note the language of David's confidence here. "Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord." That is the language of faith in prayer. It is as good as done. And when David was facing that awful threat, he knew that God was with him. He knew he was on the winning side because he was on the side of the Lord and the Lord was with him. I pray today that you will have that confidence, that whatever battle you have, whatever fight you have to fight this day for the Lord, that you will know within your own heart the Lord is with you. The Lord is your comforter. The Lord is your strength. The Lord is your help. That is the confidence we need. May the Lord bless you today and give you grace to serve Him. Let's unite in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord to go before us today. Our gracious God, we thank Thee today for the Lord Jesus, the captain who goes before His people, that You never ask us to go into any mission in which You're not willing to lead us. And we would pray like Moses, "Lord, if You lead us not up hence, Lord, if You go not before us, lead us not up hence." And so we ask for Your blessing, Your favor, Your grace today. Remember Your people in all the cares and battles they face, that You will give them great strength. Go before them and grant that Your blessing will be upon Thy people today. Give good success to the gospel. Give faith to those that need to be drawn to Thee, and grant that You will be glorified in Your people today. We ask this and pray this through the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Once aimlessly I wandered, no hope within my soul, a vessel with no pilot's hand, no haven and no goal. I tried to find an answer to calm the troubled sea. I drifted with no sight of land till Jesus rescued me. He whispered, "Peace be still," to me. My heart obeyed His will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When He said, "Peace be still," and now I have a captain, He'll guide, I know He will. I've given Jesus full command since He said, "Peace be still." Oh friend, if you are drifting, there's just one thing to do. Trust Because Jesus is the one demand, He'll whisper peace to you. He whispered, "Peace be still to me." My heart obeyed His will. His word made calm the rolling sea. When He said, "Peace be still."
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. For those who are regular listeners, we'll be happy to send you a copy of our Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. This is a 24-page magazine, gloss, full page, a bit like Time magazine, and it covers, like the last issue here, in the first quarter of this year, the Psalms, the Shepherd's Psalm, the approaching Psalm 119, the Psalms on the Savior, the imprecatory Psalms, and focus on the Okanagan Valley, along with The Danger of Religious Hypocrisy, by Dr. Mike Barrett, and A Triumph of Grace, Testimony, by Thomas Buchanan. So this magazine will really be a witness and a help to you, and perhaps to your friends as well. It's a coffee table quality item, and we'll be glad to send this to you from our Let the Bible Speak office here. So give us a call, 576-1091. If you're outside the area, 800-969-1091. We look forward to hearing from you, just to know you're tuning in, just to know that you're listening to the broadcast, and we'll be happy to send this to you. So let us know, give us a call, email, or listen to the webcast. Tune into the webcast, www.letthebiblespeak.ca. We'll give you all those details at the end of the program where you can listen in again. Thank you for being a part of the program today. May the Lord bless you richly, encourage your heart, and lead you on. Now, for the last part of Tulip Theology, the final perseverance of the saints, and I trust that you'll be encouraged through this message today.
Now, there are people who are fed up with the way they're living, and they want to change things, and they want to do various things, and they call it religion, and they call it experiences, and all kinds of things, but there's nobody that wants to get right with a holy God. Nobody. So the problem is, could our Lord Jesus have died on the cross and nobody get saved? That would be true if we did not have irresistible grace. Irresistible grace, simply put, is the fact that God has the power and the right to regenerate, begin the work of grace in a man's heart without his permission. Hallelujah! I'm glad it happened to me. I'd still be on the road to hell if it were not the case that God came and didn't ask me first. If God had asked me first, "Do you want to be a Christian and go to heaven?" I would have said, "No way, I want to live for the world. I want to be what I want to be." But God didn't come asking for Ian's permission. God came by His Spirit, and He determined before I was even born, and He sovereignly chose me to eternal life, and in spite of my desires, in grace, He regenerated my heart. And you see, regeneration is first. No man will ever desire God until he's born of the Spirit, until the Holy Spirit gives him a new heart. Now, I don't know what your testimony is, but I'm sure there's a big struggle in it somewhere. You fought the whole idea. People wanted you to consider your soul. You heard the preaching. You read the Bible. You resisted. You fought. You put it off. You struggled against it. But God won the battle. And God saved you in spite of yourself. That's how it is. And He breaks down this old, stubborn, rebellious, sinful will of ours by renewing our will and making us willing for His will. So that we can say with the hymn writer that when we came seeking the Lord, it was Him seeking us firstly. Wonderful. And so we're saved by grace, irresistible grace. Key text for this, I suppose, would be Ephesians 2 and verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of yourselves. The Arminian will argue, but the faith was mine. And God did so much, and then left it up to me to produce the faith. But if you read the text very, very carefully, Ephesians 2 verse 8, you'll notice that the faith is also the gift of God. And no matter what gymnastics you want to do with the grammar of Ephesians 2:8, no matter how you want to distort the text, you have to be honest. The faith referred to there, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Who is it that gave you the faith? God gave it to you. It was the operation of grace in your heart. And when God chose you and God by His Spirit was drawing you, He put faith in your heart. So that when you came believing, it was the result of the operation of the Spirit in your soul and in your heart. That's irresistible grace. And so that's the fourth step in this beautiful flower of tulip. Then the P, perseverance. The perseverance of the saints. When you became a Christian, perhaps somebody asked, will it last? My friends gave me about 6 weeks. They thought it would never last. And probably if they had asked me, I wouldn't have been sure either if it would really last as a newborn Christian. But I learned and I know by the grace of God that when the Lord saves us, there is perseverance. And I've learned something else. It's not my perseverance. It's the Lord persevering with me. He doesn't give up on me. I fail. I flounder. I grow weary. I lose out. And the Lord keeps persevering. What does He do? He puts His Spirit within. He strives with us. Philippians 1:6 is a great text on this. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You see, this is God's purpose. It's a sovereign purpose. It's a definite purpose. And He's not going to start the work and then give up halfway. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Or as your margin may say, will finish it. He's going to finish it. And it's a great thing to know as a Christian that God's not finished with us yet. We're a work in progress. And what we are today, we are by the grace of God, but we're not yet what we're going to be. Because His work is ongoing, ongoing, and it will never be done. He's never going to give up. And it ties in with these great promises. I'll never leave thee or forsake thee. I will not abandon you. The Lord will be with us. And you're never alone as a Christian. Never alone. You can have the most fearful discouragements, the most terrible setbacks in the Christian life, but you're never alone. If you're born of the Spirit and the Holy Ghost lives within, you're never alone. God will persevere. And if you fall into sin, God will not leave you alone either. You'll be the most miserable character in the world. Because once you're born of the Spirit, you're spoiled for the world. You can't enjoy the world anymore. The Lord is striving with you and He's keeping you. Another text I would give you in this perseverance or keeping power of God is 1 Peter 1 and verse 5. 1 1 Peter 1, verse 5. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. That's you and me, believer. We're being kept by the power of God. Now, I know that I have responsibilities to obey. I'm to keep myself. But God keeps me. God keeps me, and he keeps you. This is his work, an ongoing work in us. Now, if I may be so bold at the close of this message to take you back to 1 Peter 1, verse 2, to show you something how Peter started this epistle, he started writing to the elect. Who does he keep by his power? Who does he work through faith unto salvation? Verse 2 says, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. And you'll notice in that verse the Trinity. God the Father did the electing through sanctification of the Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit sanctifying. And then you have the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. There is the atoning work of the Son. So you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together for the elect. And that is a perfect work, an unfailing work, a work where all three persons, we can say the Father planned it, the Son purchased it, and the Holy Spirit executes it. He appropriates, he makes it work in the believer's life. And so this is the way of presenting the gospel by this beautiful flower, tulip. And I hope that every time you look at a tulip, that you'll be reminded that you're a Calvinist. And let me tell you something, if you're not a Calvinist in your head tonight, if you're a Christian, you're a Calvinist in your heart. How do I know that? Because every Arminian is a Calvinist on his knees, right? Because Arminians pray for the Holy Spirit to regenerate souls. Every Arminian prays to be kept by the power of God. Every Arminian prays for the continual cleansing of the blood of Christ. And when you're in a prayer meeting with an Arminian, you'll discover that in heart, he's a Calvinist. He's just got a few things wrong in his head. And if we could get him to a few of these tulip meetings, we might just get him straightened out. And so rejoice tonight that this is the power of God. Now, you might be concerned, but what about all those people that are not going to be saved? Could I be one of them? Could I be left with a soul that's never going to be saved? Is it possible that I come into this world, born of parents, inherited sin, practiced sin, and I could come now to the Lord for salvation and ask to be saved? And I would be told, but you're not one of the elect. You see, if you have the very desire to be saved, if you have the very heart yearning to be a Christian, what does that tell you? That's the gift of God. That's the desire of God put in your heart. That's the work of grace begun. And if you really want to be saved and you want to be sure of it, there's every promise in this book given to whosoever will. I come right back to where we came to John 3:16 at the end of the meeting last week. I can preach John 3:16 anytime, anywhere, to anybody, whosoever will. If you will come, if you will believe, you can say, God gave his Son for me. And you'll never perish. You will have the gift of eternal life. And the promises of the Bible are yours if you come. What we are saying about depraved men is that without grace, they'll never come. But there is no one, no one in eternity, no one on the judgment day who said, I really wanted to be saved. I wanted to repent and get right with God. But they wouldn't have me. That will never be. That will never be. You can be saved tonight. There is every promise, every welcome. Election, Calvinism, the doctrines of grace, however we may term it, does not limit the free offer of the gospel. It doesn't make me any less an evangelist. It doesn't make you any less welcome to the cross of Christ. In fact, it gives you every guarantee that if you do come, that when you are under the blood and you are in Christ, you have eternal life for sure. You just don't join the pool of men and you say, well, Christ died for everybody and I hope I'm one of those that will make it to heaven. No, you have certainty, security, and as we mentioned, this limited atonement limits the scope, but it doesn't limit the hope. In fact, it gives us absolute hope that if I have come in repentance and Christ has come into my heart, I am one of His, and I'm one of His forever and ever and ever. So be saved tonight. Don't leave this meeting saying, oh, I don't like election. You thank God for election, because if there was no election, there'd be no gospel. There'd be no hope for the human race if God did not come to save His people from their sins. It's the gospel.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for being a part of the program, and I trust that the Lord has already spoken and ministered to your heart. If I can be of any personal help, or if you would like to request a CD of this message, or perhaps have some direction on how you can hear this message again on our website, please feel free to be in touch with us here. Our burden is to take God's word, to comfort the hearts of God's people, to encourage those who are seeking to live for the Lord Jesus, and of course to reach men with the message of the gospel. And our messages are from the Bible, from the pulpit of our church here in Cloverdale. We take the sermons of our pulpit ministry and seek to air them day by day on this station, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., and also our half-hour church service on Sunday mornings, 10 a.m. on this station. And so I hope that you'll be a regular listener. I hope that you will pray much, stand with us here as we let the Bible speak week by week. Now, our church is the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. It's on the corner of 188th Street and 58th Avenue, two blocks north of Number 10 Highway. We would love to have you along at our church services. Sunday school hour, 9:30 for all ages, 10:30 morning service, and 6 p.m. our evening preaching service. We would love to have you here at the Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. Come along, join with us for a service, and introduce yourself. We look forward to meeting you and to hear from you. Also, you can join our Victoria Church. We'll give you information of that if you call us on our number here, 604-576-1091, or go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca. And again, join us, please, again, as we let the Bible speak.